And Lord, we just lift our hands to heaven and surrender. We put our hope in you, our strength in you, our trust in you. We surrender all to you. For we've tried in our own strength and we have failed every time. But we thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we take this opportunity and ask for your forgiveness in every area where we have offended you. Wash us with the blood. Wash us with your stripes. Wash us with your word. And let the anointing break every yoke of bondage, severing us from every emotional attachment of people, places, and things. Severing us from all corruptible seeds and fiery darts. Severing us from all bondages of fear, sickness, diseases, torments of the minds, debt, unforgiveness, severing us from our past, fulfilling your word that who is in Christ is a new creation, where old things have passed away and all things become new. Severing ourselves from ourself, that Christ could reign and be fully formed in us and through us, granting us more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, strength, boldness, sight, hearing, and receiving. As we welcome you, Holy Spirit, come, take your rightful place, fill us to where one with each other and with you, that your kingdom could be manifested in us and through us, bringing glory to the name above all names, Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Would you turn to James chapter 1? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Welcome to the city of trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, please understand, patience is not sitting in front of the TV and twiddling your thumbs. Patience is endurance. So it says, count it all joy when you fall in. So, hello, that doesn't mean if you fall in. You fall in trials so that your old stuff can be exposed and removed and Christ can be formed in you. And knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, the testing of your faith is the area of whether you see spiritually or not. It is an assumption. Many people assume that faith is assumption. They correlate faith with stepping out in blindness and going, oh, I'm stepping out in faith and doing this. No, that's not faith. That's stupidity. Faith is when God tells you something and you see it. Is everybody with me? That is faith. Faith should be tangible. It's not blindness. I hear people say, I'm walking out in blind faith. Well, that's not blind faith. That's like that priest that made a covenant to be poverty for the rest of his life. Many priests in certain organizations take a vow to be poverty, to be impoverished. How stupid can you be? That's against the word of God. Jesus said, I come to bring you life and life more abundantly, not to be a beggar. So in this, I want you to understand that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, knowing that what you hear or what you see of God is going to cause you to endure. You know, many people don't see, so they don't endure. That's why they don't see to the end of the choice they made. So they don't endure. They don't see. Faith is seeing spiritually. I can't emphasize this enough. I've heard all kinds of faith this, faith that, faith this. Faith is able to see spiritually. If you can't see spiritually, you're not walking in faith. You're walking in assumption. And we've got, and that's why Jesus spoke to them in parables so they could what? See. So they can get some idea of what the spirit realm was like or what the kingdom of God was like, because they can only coordinate it with what they could see. So they took what they could see naturally to try to comprehend it spiritually. But it finally came to the conclusion where even though they went out and cast out devils and stuff because Jesus allowed it because his anointing spread everywhere as far as he wanted to his disciples, that when they came back and they were all glad about, yeah, man, even the demons were subject to us. But the end result is when Jesus was getting ready to leave, he says, now listen, man, there's a lot of things I got to tell you, but you can't get it yet. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit. And because you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't see. Because the scales are removed with the Spirit. Is everybody okay? So please understand that one of the things when we ask God to increase our faith, what we're asking Him to do is increase our sight. I didn't plan on any of this, but praise God. So as we ask God, Lord, please increase my faith. Why? Because if you're going to increase my sight, I'm going to endure better, don't you think? If I can see what God wants me to see, I'm going to endure better. I'm going to fight more for it, aren't you? You're not going to fight for something you can't see. Are you listening? Let's go a little further. In verse 4, but let patience or endurance have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete in what? Lacking nothing. So God wants to provide for you in every area, doesn't He? He wants you to be, this is powerful. He wants you to be perfect. He wants you to be complete. And He doesn't want you to lack anything. So one of the things you got to understand is God's trying to get something to us, to you, to His children. He's trying to get something to us. And by getting something to us, He's trying to show us. So when He shows you, you will endure because you're walking in faith now because you saw it. And what's happening now is because you saw it, you're going to fight for it and you won't lack anything because you're going to go get it. Hello? That's why God sends us to places to get something, doesn't He? It'd be nice if a bale of money just dropped out of the sky, went through my roof and landed in my living room, and there was a gazillion bucks there. That would be nice. Is it possible? All things are possible. Is it likely? No. I have a two-story house. I'll never make my living room. Hallelujah. See, that's where people get goofy. They begin to step out in blind faith and not faith because they're not seeing what God has showed them. Faith is able to see spiritually. And when you see it, you endure it. You know. And as you endure, you go get it, don't you? That's why sometimes we're waiting on an answer from God. And let me tell you, God will most likely, in many events, when He speaks to you, you see it. Why? Because He's giving you faith to move in it. When you see it, that's why God speaks to us in visions, doesn't He? How about dreams? You got to be able to see it. Or else you're not moving in faith. You're moving in assumption. And if you're moving an assumption, the enemy's got access to you. So when you don't know what to do, you wait. Amen? Until you're able to see. And when you're able to see, that faith kicks in. Yeah, man, I can see it now. Now you're going to endure to do it and go get it. And then all of heaven is behind you when you're walking in faith. Has everybody got it? All of heaven is behind you when you're walking in faith. All hell is behind you when you're walking in assumption. Because they're out to get you. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. And he won't steal, kill, and destroy if you're able to see. So these are areas where God is bringing us through trials. We're going to fight. We're going through a journey. When you got saved, God put you on a journey. Not a gurney, a journey. Maybe sometimes. But even if you're on the gurney, you're still on a journey. Hallelujah. So in this journey that you are on, let me tell you what God did is He took you out of blindness. He took you out of deception. He took you out of darkness. He took you out of no hope. He took you out of despair. He took you out of hell. And He puts you on the road called a journey. And in this journey, the process of this journey that you continue to go on as a believer is to constantly remove you so He can take your place. So that the old nature no longer has dominion over the divine nature, but the divine nature has dominion over the old nature. So you will go through trials so that as you respond, you will respond according to the will of God and not the will of the old man. Amen. Is everybody okay? So we are on a journey. We are on a road. We are on the road to Zion. And on the road to Zion, it is the ultimate place to reach. So we are fighting on the road to reach Zion. Is everybody with me? You're fighting to reach Zion. And Zion is not only the Mount Zion where Jerusalem is, it's not only the area of Jerusalem, but it's also, which is a physical place, but it's an eternal place. And it is called Zion. That's why Zion is calling us to a higher place of praise. Zion. So we are on the road to Zion. So all of your stuff, everything that we go through, is to reach Zion. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, let's read it together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? Dwell together where? In unity. In unity. Now I want you to understand something. In unity is essential because when they built the Tower of Babel, they were in unity. They were one accord. And the Lord said that nothing can be prevented for them what they want to do now. So that's why He came down and changed everybody's language. Place them in another parts of the world, and that's how we got all nationalities, culturals. So one of the things God wants us to do is walk in unity so that we are like-minded, like-hearted, and like-purposed. Didn't mean that we wouldn't have a different function. Not everybody's a mechanic, not everybody's a doctor, but the whole thing is we're walking in unity, we're going forward in unity, in like-mindedness, like-willedness, and like-purpose. So it's good for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head. That's anointing. This is corporate anointing. Running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of what? Zion. For there the Lord commanded the what? Where did He command the blessing? Zion. Life forevermore. Unity. Unity is association with covenant. In other words, there's covenant relationships help you get to Zion. Why? Because the blessing, life forevermore, is at Zion. It comes from Zion, which is the place and the area where we are on the journey to. It is the physical place and a spiritual place. Hello, go to Psalm 48. The road to Zion. See, many people, they'll be on the road to Zion, and then they lose unity. And then they're not in the same move. Then they try to hitchhike to Zion. And they usually get mugged. And then they lose everything. And then somebody blesses them with a bus back on track to Zion, and they get reconnected, and, you know. Psalm 48, and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is what? Mount Zion, on the sides of the north. It is the city of the great King. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as a woman in birth pangs. And when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, as we have heard, so we have seen. So we what? Seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought of God on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. So we see that Mount Zion is known as the city of God and the holy mountain, Mount Zion. It is the city of kings. The word Zion is mentioned around 150 times in the Bible. And there's a definition. The word Zion means two things. It means fortification and landmark. And many times for many years, I've always heard the Lord say, fortify, fortify. I'll be somewhere and He'll say, fortify. Fortify. I always hear that word, fortify. And in this, it's an area where there's protection. In other words, you know, it's like when you're shutting the windows and the doors and whatever for because of a storm coming or something like that, you're fortifying it. People put pieces of plywood knowing that there's hurricanes coming or whatever it is. They're fortifying their home. In Zion, the word Zion means fortification. Does everybody understand that? And it's for protection. It also means landmark, because Zion is the landmark of the earth. It is where the name of God is actually written in the earth in Hebrew. Are you with me? Cool. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Start at verse 1. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at where? Hebron. They came to help. They came to help. And spoke, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. In other words, they were becoming unified with David. They were becoming a covenant partner, covenant relationship. I'm with you. Jesus said something. He says, those who are, you're either what? With me or against me. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. So David made a covenant with them, didn't he? David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you," thinking David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. Now David said on that day, "Whoever climbs up by the way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain." Therefore, they say, "The blind and the lame shall not come into the house." Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from Milo and inward. So David went out and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with David. David conquered Zion. No man of God conquered Zion. Joshua, the judges, or Saul. No one could conquer Zion. Only David. Because David was prepared to take Zion after many battles and establish covenant relationships that overcame, and I want to share something with you, that overcame demons of disunity, demons of disloyalty, and demons of selfish carnality. In other words, these are areas that always break relationships. These were demons of disunity, demons of disloyalty, and demons of selfish carnality. Are you with me? And in this, please understand, and we'll talk more about how David was able to overcome Zion, because no one could overcome it. It was too fortified. In a minute. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. The road to Zion. Are you enjoying the journey? The affliction is only for a moment, is what the word says. Now, I didn't say it didn't feel like a moment. I said it's only for a moment compared to eternity. It's only for a moment. See, if you start comparing everything to eternity, you won't be so messed up. You won't be so, "Woe is me." You won't be so, "Oh, why does this only happen to me?" It's only happening for a moment. Come on, endure. Psalm 50, in verse 1. "The mighty one, God, the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down." Out of where? Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. "Our God shall come and shall not be silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temptuous all around him. He shall call the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a what? Covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is what? Judge." So we see out of Zion, he's going to gather those who made a covenant with him. You made a covenant with him. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you made a covenant with him. What did you do? You gave him your life. That is covenant. And by making a covenant with the Lord, saying you gave him your life, he has a covenant promise for you. Not only life forevermore, but benefits. He's got benefits. He's got life insurance. "By his stripes you're healed." It says that he does far above you could ever ask or think. He always surprises you. I mean, he's got awesome benefits. He forgives you when you blow it. Even though you don't forgive yourself, he still forgives you. It says he heals your diseases, right? Life insurance, health insurance, I'm telling you. Bonuses, all kinds of stuff. It's phenomenal. And he provides. I mean, he provides. You know? And in the area, and he visits you and lifts you up. He encamps and see, you have bodyguards too. Because you're a king's kid. That's a part of the benefits. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Start at verse 1, please. It says what? Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. So we see that out of Zion comes the what? The trumpet. He blows the alarm. It comes out of Zion to judge. Judgment comes out of where? Zion. Is everybody okay? Go to Joel 3. Chapter 3 and verse 16. And start at 14. I like 14. Verse 14, let's read it. Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark. The stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord shall roar from where? Zion. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Why? Because Zion means what? Fortification. He'll protect us. Isn't that wonderful? He dwells in Zion. How many of y'all want to dwell with the Lord? Praise God. Psalm 14. Zion is calling us to a higher place of praise. Psalm 14, verse 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation of Israel would what? Come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the what? Captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. I want you to understand that the people that have been in captivity have been returning. From all over the world. That's why the Berlin Wall came down. Everyone's headed towards Zion. Anyone that knows the truth. And some that don't even know it. The Jews don't even understand. They just have a unction. They know that they've got to head to Zion. They're heading home to Jerusalem. From all over the world. And it says that he will call them home. Why? Because salvation will come out of Zion. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Psalm 102. Verse 12. Oh, good. Let's read it. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has what? Come. Why? Because of returning home. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That's us. That's me and you. We weren't created yet. This was already spoken and called in and being fulfilled right now. Favor, building up and appearing. He's going to grant them favor. He's going to build them up and he's going to appear. Does everybody understand? Zechariah chapter 8. The road to Zion. No hitchhiking. You get mugged. Start at verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for who? Zion, with great zeal, with great fervor, I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the what? City of truth. The mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So I want you to really get a focus of what's happening, because we're all headed towards Zion in this journey. This is the Lord's favor. This is where the Lord will dwell. This is where the Lord is going to show his salvation. This is where the Lord will appear in his glory. And this is where he will reign. Hallelujah. And we are on the journey. Go to Romans 11. Romans 11. You're on the journey now. That's why we're called pilgrims. We're pilgrims in a land. In Romans chapter 11, is everybody there? Let's start at verse something. Verse 26. 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. So we see that the deliverer will come out of Zion. Amen? Go to Hebrews 12. So count it all joy as you enter your next various trial. It will only be for a moment. Well, I've been dealing with this trial for years. No. It's a moment compared to eternity, right? Okay. Hebrews 12. Verse 18, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Awesome. So that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. With what? Reverence. And with what? Godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Our God is the city of the living God. In Revelation 14. Revelation 14. In verse 1. Then I look and behold a lamb standing on where? Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard the voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I believe they are alive right now and waiting for the Lord. The 144,000. They are Jews. We have a teaching on it, and I'm not going to get into it. But they already know. I believe the Lord's already visited them. They know who they are, and they've been set apart, waiting for that moment to meet the Lord in Zion. They can't return from him, can they? With him. They're here on the earth. They are alive right now, waiting to meet the Lord in Zion. And in that time. Why? Because they are sealed by the Lord. And God always leaves his seal on earth. I'm not going to go into all that right now. Praise God. The Lamb on Mount Zion. Now listen, in this journey to the road to Zion, we know that there has been a journey for many years, hasn't there? Adam and Eve started with that journey. That journey's been going on. Noah went with that journey. And then we know it came to Abraham, and he started that journey. Amen? And then Moses went on that journey, didn't he? And I mean, Moses was, what did he do? He was leading the Israelites to the promised land. Canaan was the promised land at that time. And then it came to David, who led the Israelites to Zion and took the mountain. And we are also being led through the wilderness to eternal Zion. The journey is to prepare us for Zion. It's to prepare the return of the Lord. And one of the areas in this preparation that we're going through, it's a denial of self, isn't it? And replace the area of many people falling into religiosity. They fall into religiosity and they become faithless. And what I'm sharing about in this, there's an area where individual becomes faithful or faithless. So this journey that we are going on is to prepare us. David was trained by many of the attacks in his life. He could not take Zion until he went through many attacks and battles and battles. God prepared him to take Zion. Are you with me? They first started in the cave in Adullam. And you know, many of us have been in a cave, and God has brought us out of the cave now into that journey. In other words, you are trained in the cave. The only thing that you can see in the cave is me, myself, and I. And it's nasty. And then God begins to, when you overcome the cave, you come out. And you start in that journey, and that journey continues to go. That's where you constantly are denying yourself. But again, David learned how to fight. He could not overtake Zion until he took Mount Hebron. And Mount Hebron is higher and steeper than Zion. And his army and military took them. So David was prepared. So when he got to Zion, which no one, the fortified city that no one could overtake, they were able to take it because he had practiced already. So when they tried to tell him, man, you ain't going to, no way. We'll put all the lame around you. You can't even get past them. You won't even touch them. But David did. Why? Because he took Mount Hebron, which is higher and steeper than Zion. Are you listening? See, so God is preparing you to reach. You must continue. You've got to fight to get through. You're on the journey to Zion. Not only the physical city that's in Zion, which we will return to, but the spiritual one. So in this, you are learning. You're learning how to fight. And in this journey, you're picking up individuals. You're picking up others who are lost. Hopefully, you'll pick up some of those hitchhikers that have fallen off track and put them on the right bus. It's time to take, you know, when David took Zion, it blew their minds. They didn't believe it. No one could do it. And when David took Zion and destroyed it, they call it the city of David, the city of God, the city of truth, and prepared it for the Lord's return. They brought the covenant there. They established everything there, the Ark of the Covenant and so forth. Everything was established in Zion. And from Zion, they went out. And you and I are headed towards Zion. Not only physically, but spiritually. It is a journey. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. So now you can look forward to your trials that are only for a moment. Amen? Good. 2 Kings chapter 2. And don't say you don't know my circumstance. I'm going to learn and tell you it's only for a moment compared to eternity. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Gilgal was a place of sacrifice. It was a place where he made the choice to follow. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." In other words, what, you crazy, man? I'm keeping my eyes on you. I'm following you all the way through. I'm united with you because I know what God's going to give you. He's going to give me if I'm connected with you. Are you listening? So they went down to Bethel. Now, Bethel was a wreck as the area known as the house of God. But it's the area where covenant was established. In other words, Gilgal was the place he made the choice of sacrifice. He said, I'm done with my life. I'm following you all the way. Bethel was a place of the house of God where he said, let's make covenant. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." In other words, I'm don't mess with me, man. I'll call fire down on you. No. Don't mess with me. Be quiet. I know I don't need any corruptible seeds. I don't want to lose focus. See, this is the same journey that Elijah took, that you and I are taking to Zion. See, you're going to go from these places, just like King David, who came out of the cave to Hebron to Zion. Same thing with Elijah, who had to follow Elijah. He had to follow him from Gilgal to Bethel, and he's headed to Jericho. In verse 4, then Elijah said to him, "Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now, Jericho is a place where personal walls came down. As God is dealing with you and exposing you, because see, you can only go so far on the journey till you got to stop and change clothes before you hurt yourself and somebody else. There's got to be a change of garments. It's like a plane that flies as it goes higher and higher. It begins to lose, it gains altitude, but it loses oxygen. It gets colder. You got to change clothes, and you got to make sure that you got enough to breathe. It's the same thing in your journey as you're getting closer and closer. Things got to change. Your walk changes. You're getting stronger. You're enduring. You're walking in faith. You're seeing these things. And as you're seeing these things, and now you got to understand on the journey, just like going through the wilderness, there's serpents there. There's areas where you're going to have to find a drink from heaven. There's times of dryness. There's times of despair. There's times of loneliness. There's times of pain, sickness. There's all of these times. Everybody goes through it. Nobody escapes it. There's times of oppression. All of these things are there. There's times of lack. But all of these things are to allow you and me to become perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. See, but that comes in an area as you're changing the garments in preparation for the next event, so that your trials and tribulations are no longer moving you and causing you to make a decision. Are you listening? Because you're focused on the journey to Zion. Man, when we were in the world, we were focused to go get that beer at the corner. To go get the dope. We were focused on everything ungodly and willing to lose our lives, our families, and be locked up forever. Overdose and die and go to hell. We were willing to take that risk. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Until we finally got restored to the senses above and not from beneath. And God sent us back on the path, because we've been hitchhiking the wrong road for a long time and finally got on the right road to Zion. So we will go through these. This is an area where your personal walls, the battles, because you've been battling, and you've been battling the same battle. And finally that wall finally comes down because you can see it now. Because see, sometimes you get in a battle because you didn't see what was coming. But if you can see what's coming, you're going to battle and go through it. Are you listening? Hello? Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered again, "Yes, I know. Shut up." No. Keep silent. So every area he went, he was attacked, wasn't he? By his own brothers. Ooh. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan, the promise." See, he had to go through the Jordan. Are you listening? He's getting to the promised land. I'm going to the promised land. But he said, "As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Verse 7, "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went out and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over the dry land." Now that's a friend you want to hang with. "And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask.'" Okay, you followed me all the way. What do you want? "What may I do for you before I am taken away from you, Elijah?" And Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Now wait a minute, it says, wait a minute, if you what? If you see me what? So that he had to have focus, didn't he? See, but he already saw him before it happened. Do you get it? That's why he was able to follow him all the way from Gilgal. He was waiting for Elijah to turn around and say, okay, what do you want? Yeah, I've been waiting for that. Man, you haven't even changed the clothes I had to go through following you. And all those people coming out from the woodwork telling me something different. But I knew I had to keep my eyes on you all the way. And I waited for this moment. Yes, yes, yes. Give me that double portion. You got it. Now, make sure you see. Just because I said you can have it, you only can have it if you finish seeing the journey. Are you listening? Glory. Then it happened, verse 11, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel, I see it! It's happening! So he saw him no more, and he took the hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into pieces. Why? He knew he was getting a new one. And he also took up the what? Mantle from Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the river. And he was all blessed. He's like, yes, yes, I got it. I followed him all the way. Look, I got new garments, everything. Yes, I'm going to. All right, here we go. Whew. He's swinging the mantle, man. He's ready. He knows he did it. Yes, I followed all the way. Okay. Yeah. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that way. And Elijah crossed over. After he got up, he probably fainted. It happened. And he crossed over. Do you get this? See, we are crossing over, aren't we? We're following all the way. No matter what, you're going to have people come out of the woodwork. All kinds of demons are going to come out of the woodwork. They're going to have all kinds of clothes on and all, but they're serpents in disguise. You can't be distracted. You must maintain your focus. You've got to see it all the way through. And you must be covenant partner, not only with God, but with your brothers, your sisters. Does everybody understand this? That's why he says, stay in unity. Stay in unity. For there my blessing is. That's the only way you make it. It's very difficult to make Zion by yourself. You'll get on the wrong bus. Revelation 20. Can't you just picture Elijah there? Yes! Swinging that mantle? Yeah. Like a child with candy. Mine, mine, mine. But he did it for the Lord, didn't he? He was an honest servant of the Lord. Gave up his life. Remember when Elijah went to go get Elisha, he found him with a plow and all kinds of stuff. An oxen. And his family was wealthy. Elijah's family was wealthy. Because they had all these oxen and And he was plowing the land, and Elijah showed up. And he threw his mantle on him. And Elijah said to him, "Man, cool, I love this. This is great. But can I go say goodbye to mom and dad?" And Elijah said to him, "What have I done to you?" Got it. So he turned around, busted up the plow, used it for a fire, and killed an oxen and offered it to the Lord and said, "See ya." He was gone. "I'll follow you." So in other words, he severed everything that he relied on to make money. Are you listening? He severed that life. He burned it. Turned the other way, never went back. Continued to go forward, followed Elijah all the way. From one place to another, why he had to change those garments, and he was dying. People come out of woodwork. Hey, those serpents will come out. Look at it. Tempt him in every area. Try to send him back home. Try to put oppression. You're going to be alone now. Listen, you ain't alone if you've got the anointing. Hello? That's where the devil likes to mess with people's head. Revelation 20, verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for what? 1,000 years. And where do you think they lived and reigned with Christ? Zion. The physical Zion. Are you listening? There will be a physical Zion that we will return to. But then there's the spiritual Zion. Revelation 21. Verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a what? New earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem," known as what? Zion. "Coming down from where?" Coming out of heaven, man. "From God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes, he who endures, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son and daughters. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murdering, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" Hallelujah. Welcome to the road to Zion. The journey. You know, when people come into the kingdom, I always say, "Welcome. You're on vacation. You're on vacation with God." Amen. I'm on vacation with God. If, as long as you deny yourself, you're always on vacation. It may not seem like vacation because of our trials, which are only for a what? Moment. Compared to what? Eternity. They're only for a moment. So we're on vacation with God all the way, traveling. You know, everybody talks about wanting to travel the country and see this and see that. Man, you don't have to travel the country. Just get in the body of Christ. And you're going to see this and you're going to see that, let me tell you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's like going to a movie. But you can count it all joy and allow this journey to be a vacation with God, a joyful vacation. Let Him deal with you. Quit getting off the path. Don't run from your trials and tribulations. Learn from them and go through, because you are on a journey to Zion. And we are Zionists. Amen? Better than a scientist. I'd rather be a Zionist. So welcome to the journey and enjoy it. It's okay. The end result is home. You're on your way home. Never lose sight of that. Don't get so caught up in the moment and in self and what was me and why is this and how is this and where is this. You'll go back in the cave. Come out of the cave. Come out to battle. Take Hebron and get to Zion. That's where you can no longer run from the devil. You must fight him. The thing is that you already won. You just got to show up. Hello? Quit running and start fighting. Quit bucking and start bowing. And let God be God and let us be His children. The road to Zion is fun. Because your trials are only a moment. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. Yes. We love You. We can't do it without You. So keep us on the path. Let the seed tonight be protected by the blood, that it will grow and bear fruit for Your glory. Increase our faith. That means increase our sight then. That we may endure. That we may be perfect, complete, and lack nothing. And follow You all the way home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah!